B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boom.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How about this?
I like it.
Woohoo!
Hey! Think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Paul.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
No, sir.
Gotta get out. Get me some of those rays.
Woo!
Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day.
Cream cheese.
Everybody seems so happy today.
Bobby Paul.
It's a sunshine day.
And Munchkins on the side.
Here we go.
Gotta be honest, it doesn't seem right in this period of time.
It doesn't, but what are you going to do? That's how we bring in Paul Perillo from Patriots.com, known as Sunshine.com, where the sun always shines, thus the song. And he joins us now via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. You want to call it that? Pip, are you there?
I am here.
Ooh, can that you guys sounds hear me? Good.
Ooh. I'm in.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Is that internet Zoom, or are you at like the radio studios down there?
No, I'm on Zoom. I'm at home.
Wow.
Yeah, my son wants a piece of mass. My son was not happy with you making fun of me the other day.
Why does the son want a piece of mass?
One too many shots at me during those Dunkin' Donuts 4 o'clock Dunkin' runs, you know?
Yeah, don't kid yourself. You've had those mini bagel bites over there. Those things are awesome.
All right, so every Wednesday during the football season, Paul Perillo from Patriots.com will be joining us, as he has for almost the duration, Paul?
Years.
Yeah. Long time.
I mean, my God, almost a decade, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. So
have you guys been that long? How long are you guys?
11 years. 11.
11 years for us.
Yeah, it's pretty much. That's a long time.
I've aged 20 next to this clown.
We're thrilled
to come up with a new theme song at some point.
No. That works. That thing works. So anyway, every Wednesday during the football season, like we did with the big boy, Greg Bedard, who'll join us Tuesdays. We'll do a little preseason training camp edition. So we got Paul for the next hour. You want to talk Patriots? Join us at 617-779-0985. Paul, let me start by asking you, how does your team look?
You know, it's a work in progress.
Oh, wow.
I have to be honest with you. It was not overly impressive at training camp. Now, I've tried to keep a number of things in mind when thinking that. And, you know, first and foremost, obviously, is the absence of the anchor. I mean, Tom Brady not being there has given it a different look altogether. Offensively, it's been ragged. But, you know, I sort of expected that after so long of having things run the same way. You knew it was going to look different. But I also try to keep in mind, you know, just all the oddities of this particular offseason. You know, the lack of work on field throughout the spring was apparent, right? There was a lot of, and we got a chance to be at a couple of practices before, you know, the official opening of training camp. So we got a chance to see some of the things that I think would have probably taken place in May at OTAs, you know, sort of in August. And it looked that way. They looked like there was a lot of instruction going on still. You know, Bill Belichick talked about, you know, the evaluation was not really happening yet. It was still installation. So I tried to keep some of those things in mind. But you know, the bottom line is I think we got a chance to see 16 practices and the offense did not really look good in any of them. I have to be honest.
Would you say it's quarterback play, newness of quarterback play, or the same thing with the pass catchers not getting open, not being up to snuff?
Yeah, I think it probably looks a little worse, Mike, because of the newness of the quarterback. But the weapons, I really don't see a huge jump in what they had last year. I think they're going to have similar problems. Now, I think there's some promise with a couple of the spots, most notably the two rookie tight ends. I think Asiasi looks like a guy that, you know, should be able to contribute as a pass catcher. I think Ryan Izzo looks like a guy who's improved a little bit. And the other rookie that I was mentioning, Dalton Keene, another guy who has, I think, some ability, you know, to contribute in a couple of different ways. But wide receivers after Julian Edelman, guys, I don't know where they go. I don't know if Mohamed Sanu looks like he's any more comfortable or has any more ability to separate on a consistent basis. And I would say largely the same for N'Keal Harry. You know, I thought both of those guys looked a little bit better later in camp. The last few days that we were there, I thought they made a few more plays than they had. And it certainly seems Cam Newton is developing a little bit of a relationship with Sanu, which makes sense. Two guys that have been around the league a little bit, you know, would make sense for Newton to lean on him. Maybe it's taken a little bit of time, but once they get up to speed, that'll look a little bit better. But beyond Edelman, I just don't know where they go for, you know, a certainty.
So, Paul, guys like Bird, and I'm still sticking on the receiving core here, Bird and Ross are getting a lot of attention, Ross in particular. This always cracks me up in every camp because there's always a guy that flashes, and then you get into the regular season and you realize he has no shot of really making any sort of significant impact. What's your impression of those guys?
Yeah, I really like Bird. Damier Bird is a guy who's been around the league for a few years, hasn't really, you know, had enormous production. I think maybe 25 catches or so, but he does have speed. And that's an element that this offense has lacked for the last few years. And I'm not talking about before Mike has a coronary. I'm not talking about deep balls. I'm not talking about taking the top off. I'm talking about the ability to make a safety have to worry about being over the top and just not crowding the line of scrimmage and not having 8-9 guys within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. You have to have something to put some pressure on the defense. I think he has the ability, I think, to get down the field. And what I saw in training camp was the ability to, you know, those little comeback routes, you know, that, you know, you run maybe 18 yards and then you stop, you come back 2 or 3 and it's a good solid 12, 15 yard completion. He could do that all day. So I was impressed with Damier Bird. With Ross and Gunnar Olszewski is another one, Maz, that got a lot of attention. They both look really, really fast. They look quick during camp. They were getting open a lot. I thought both of them struggled to catch the ball consistently. And I do kind of, I know where you're going with that, Tony. And I do kind of wonder, okay, is this a nice little camp story or are these guys that they can really rely on during the regular season? I would probably go to the former. I think Ross might be a good practice squad candidate. Olszewski, I think, is going to make it. I think he's going to be on the roster right now. I put up a 53 man on Monday and right now he would be on it, but I don't know if you can rely on him to sort of be, you know, that Danny Amendola secondary kind of slot guy. I don't know if he's at that level.
So add Perillo's tone to that of Soucy, Zolak, the guys that have been there every day. They blow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul,
the offense blows.
Do they suck?
I didn't say that.
I know you didn't. I did. I'm asking a question. Do they suck? No. Question mark.
I think the offense, I mean, if you ask me what they did over the 16 days that I watched, yes. I mean, the defense dominated virtually every day. But, I mean, I'm not going to just completely write off the offense based on 2.5 weeks of work with a quarterback who does, you know, really doesn't know the offense yet.
I might.
And I also think live situations, we know that Cam Newton's a little bit different than the other quarterbacks that they've had in terms of his running ability. That doesn't come into play in training camp. You know, how many times does, you know, he look around and not really see anything and then pick up 8 yards on 3rd and 5 and move the chains? You can't really replicate that in training camp. So I'm not ready to say that they suck on offense and they're not going to be able to move the football at all. But if I'm going off of what I saw, the defense dominated all the practices.
So you're not as bullish on the offensive line as others are, too?
No, I think the offensive line is fine. I don't think the offensive line is a huge problem.
Who's right tackle?
Well, it looks like Jermaine Illuminor. Uh-oh. And what did you think of Marcus Cannon last year?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
But I thought he was hurt from what I had heard.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I don't think he played all that well. And, you know, quite frankly, with Cannon, I think he's been very up and down. And I think he's sort of up in those years where the contract is coming due. And he gets it and he's kind of down again and he's banged up a little bit. So, I know that I'm not talking about him opting out. That's a whole different thing, a personal situation that I certainly would never question with anybody. But I don't think he played all that well last year. And I think Illuminor has been a fixture over there during the practices. Again, it's a little hard. You know, the physical contact is not always at game level. It's not that kind of intensity. He looked to me like he did a reasonably good job. I thought in some of the one-on-ones, and I'll defer to my compatriot there, the big boy, because I know he charts all the one-on-ones every day. He looked to me like he held his own. I think he looked pretty comfortable there. And unlike in past camps, Mike, and you remember this when you were with us down here, there was not a lot of, you know, mixing and matching. You know, in the past, it always seemed like, okay, well, Corey Cunningham is the tackle today. And the next day it's Justin Heron. And then the next day it's Jermaine Illuminor. It was Jermaine Illuminor every day. So I think that's the guy that they've decided on, and I think they want to keep those 5 guys together.
Okay, so Paul Perillo here for the next hour. You want some Patriots action? You have some Patriots thoughts? Join us at 617-779-0985. I know Maz has more on the offense, and I want your breakdown of the court. We wouldn't talk to you the whole summer. So I want your breakdown of the quarterback competition, your thoughts on Jared Stidham, your thoughts on Cam Newton, all of it. Again, with your calls and Paul Perillo, sunshine.com is back in the house.
Unreal. I'm happier already.
Even virtually. It works. You can feel the glow. All right, back with all of this right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
How close do you feel you might be to naming a starting quarterback at this point?
Yeah, when we're ready to do it, we'll do it.
That was Belichick on Monday, I think. A couple days old. Meanwhile, there's teams across the league that are declaring their starting quarterback. Chargers have done it today. Tyrod Taylor.
Yep.
What was the other one?
Washington. Dwayne Haskins.
Okay, good luck with that. But either way, they're declaring their quarterbacks. Paul, your thoughts? Is it obviously Cam Newton? Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt within the team. But, I mean, we all get why Belichick does things the way he does. He feels... all of these things are potential competitive advantages. I think that was one of the reasons why, he and the team were so adamant this year in training camp as to what they wanted to be covered, because there was nobody there. There were no fans to do whatever they wanted and post videos and the like. So they had an ability to crack it down. I think that Bill has always looked at those things as potential advantages. And I think he's going to do the same thing here. I think within the team, I don't think there's any question. I think look at what Julian Edelman posted, with that Instagram thing with Batman, Superman. So I don't think that they have any doubt. And certainly I would say maybe not even a week. I think it was 3 days in, it completely changed. And it was almost all Newton at the start of every drill, every period, every 11-on-11. It was Cam Newton. I think that's what it'll be, at least to start.
Did you think Stidham had a chance? Do you think it was legit to start, or was just it was a fake quarterback competition?
Yeah, I felt it was going to be. I think we did talk at some point during the spring. I mean, after Newton arrived, I didn't think there was any question that it was going to be Cam Newton. I didn't see any scenario other than health that Cam Newton wouldn't be the starter. Now, I think when camp opened those first several days, there was a lot of reps for a lot of guys. I think all three of them took their turns, Hoyer, Stidham, and Newton. And I think the combination, like I said, of making sure that Cam was healthy and making sure to get him up to speed, I don't see how you can start him without giving him every rep that you can, because he's the one that needs the reps the most, because he doesn't know the system. And, Hoyer obviously has been in forever, and Stidham, at least had 1 year under his belt. So, yeah, I think they had a fair chance. If you're asking me which guy I thought looked the best, the most comfortable, was probably Hoyer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the way it should be, given his experience level. Now, I think we can all agree, I don't think he's the most talented of those three guys. And I think that you have to weigh that, the experience in the system with, the physical skills that he has to bring to the table.
So let me ask you a couple things about Newton. And quickly, how does his arm look, arm strength?
Yeah, I think that's been exceptional. I think he looks healthy. He bounces around a lot. He's not afraid to tuck it and run. I know everybody's been writing and talking about the energy. We've seen that on the field. There's no question. Physically, Tony, I think he throws the ball really, really well.
Okay.
I don't know in terms of his accuracy. Now, that's a different thing. I think there have been throws that have gotten away from him. And all the things that we've sort of heard about him, we can see the stats, but when you actually see it, on a more regular basis, he's off target a little bit.
Okay.
There's been times where he's overshot some outs to the sideline, but in terms of physically, his shoulder looks healthy to me.
Okay. So I was going to ask you about accuracy next. What about mobility and speed?
Yeah, no, I think that he looks every bit the athlete that we've come to know from Carolina. And now, again, we'll see what happens when he starts getting hit. You know, that's the other thing that I think has been interesting about this camp with no preseason games to lean on. I know they've done a lot of drills where they've sort of simulated tackling, but they haven't really done any tackling actually physically to the ground other than the normal goal line period that they do once in a while.
Okay, and quickly, Paul, also, because to me these cover all the elements of quarterback, decision-making right. And his processing speed, how does that look?
Yeah, a little slow. I think that's the part where, I think they need to get him as many reps as they can. Now, I do feel like as camp went on, as the days progressed, I thought he looked more and more comfortable, but it's still a little slow, and I you can't help but subconsciously, Tony, think of the guy that was there for 20 years and how fast everything seemed to go when Tom was doing it. It's not the same.
Okay, before I get to the calls, give me 60 seconds on Jared Stidham. Are you concerned? Should the team be concerned about how his summer went?
I don't know all the details behind the scenes of how his summer went. I think physically he looks like, you know, he looks like he processes reasonably well. The ball comes out pretty quickly. I think he has some athleticism for the position. He moves around pretty well. I don't know how good he is. I haven't seen him play. And I know a lot of people they want to know, is he the guy in the future? Did Bill think he was the guy and now he doesn't think he's the guy? I don't know how you can know he's the guy based on, you know, a year where he was a backup and never played. So I don't know exactly what went on behind closed doors. I know you guys are very big on the Texas wedding circuit and how that short circuited him. I don't know if there's any validity to that. But I do know they had a chance to get Cam Newton and I thought it made a lot of sense. And I think that's a wild upgrade at the position. To go into a season with an unproven second year guy, when you had a chance to get a guy like Cam Newton, I think would have been doing a disservice to the rest of the team.
I actually did have another. On October 17th of 2014, when John Jastrzemski texted Jim McNally, talked to him last night, he actually brought you. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm not kidding.
You're awesome.
Okay, to your phones, as promised.
And hurry up when you have that high-ranking member of the organization. I always love when you use that as the intro.
With, Paul Perillo, the high-ranking member of the Patriots organization, joining us. John in Connecticut. Go ahead on the Pats.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure what Paul's talking about. You know, the offense not looking good because, you know, when you listen to Bill talk about Cam Newton, he's like the second coming to Jesus. So, you know, I mean, my expectations for the year were maybe, you know, 7-9, 9-7 round. But now that I heard Bill talk about Cam, I'm expecting at least 12-4 and easy road to the Super Bowl.
John, thanks for the call. What do you make of that 2-minute and 17-second soliloquy yesterday on Cam Newton?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was talking to someone yesterday. I really wish that I had some money for every time that he described a guy as the no one works harder than blank. Because literally, I would not have to be doing these hits to make ends meet. I'll tell you that. I don't know exactly if it's shots at Brady and, you know, maybe he's a little irritated with, you know, how much attention Tom has gotten in Tampa. I don't know. That's something that only Bill could answer. But I did find it odd that he was as effusive in his praise of Cam Newton and, you know, in his work ethic in particular.
Josh in New York, go ahead. What do you got for Paul Perillo?
Yeah, well, I just want to start by saying I think this guy is complete garbage. I think his legs are fine, and I think he's a total fraud. Ted Sellers, garbage, trash, vote blind Mike 2020.
Hold on one second. Does anyone have any idea what he's talking about?
My guess, he's talking about Newton?
What not the candidate, blind Mike.
I'm sorry, Josh, just one more time. Go ahead.
Blind Mike is the candidate with vision. He's the clear choice in a blurry world.
That was authentic mountain gibberish right there. You don't get that every day.
I like Blind Mike.
Troy in Saugus. Go ahead, Troy.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How we doing?
Good.
Good. I'm calling because specifically I'm getting really, really upset at Julian Edelman. He thinks he's kind of all this and all that. Good wideout, but I'm ready to start calling him Julie Edelwoman. The stuff he's doing is real girly.
What's he doing? What's he doing that's girly?
Oh, the whole yellow shirt at practice. Oh, I came from Kent State. We all know the story, Julie. We know it. We don't need to keep pushing it.
Wow. Why so much resentment for your best player?
I don't know.
He's worn that shirt underneath his uniform his whole time as a Patriot.
I thought he was going to say it had more to do with like the Instagram posts and whatnot.
Oh, that's all annoying. I would agree with that, but that ship has sailed. You can't butt your head against that wall collar. Let me ask you about Edelman.
Tell you what, you better appreciate Julian Edelman this year.
Exactly. But how does he look, Paul? And are you worried about his health?
Yeah, he's already been nicked up a little bit. He's been limited on in some practices. And I'll tell you what I worry about is something that, Tony, when you were talking about all the different elements for Cam Newton, right? You know, the accuracy. And we know this offense relies a lot on the slot receiver. Clearly, the slot receiver is the Patriots' best receiver right now and best option. And I wonder, you know, with if Newton's off target a little bit, if that's going to put Edelman more in harm's way than he might be, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, just, well, so, but Paul,
you take a lot of hits over the middle, and if you get one of those passes a little errant and all of a sudden you get him lit up, they cannot afford to lose him.
And not just that, I don't feel like Cam Newton's skill set benefits Julian Edelman. You know, I mean, I think Edelman benefits from, obviously everyone benefits from Brady, but the guy that is, you know, three steps, balls out quick read, accurate in the short zone. And like, I just don't feel Newton's that guy really.
Yeah, the only thing that I would agree with you, Mike, on the overall assessment there. The only thing I would say is when Cam has looked best, it's been a lot of the short stuff. I mean, that's the completions have been, Burkhead, White out of the backfield, some screens, some quick stuff to Edelman. You know, Olszewski has caught a lot of passes in camp, too. Anytime they've been trying to get the ball down the field in any way, which you would think would be more along the lines of what Newton be most comfortable with, they really haven't been able to connect. So, yeah, I get what you're saying about Newton's skill set, but I do think that is really that those are major principles in what the Patriots like to do. A lot of timing stuff, making sure that one completion sets up the next, and you don't want to sort of misfire on some of those easy completions. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how much they have to adjust with Newton as opposed to the way it has been.
I think he's going to be better at that than people think.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not going to be Brady.
I don't think it's a huge problem either, Tony.
Yeah, he's not going to be Brady. Okay, forget it. Nobody's going to be Brady. But that 59% in Carolina, when he had McCaffrey and Olsen in the same offense, the number was better.
But dumping it off to a running back out of the backfield is different than a 6-yard option route over the middle to a slot receiver.
Correct.
So take it.
Yeah, and they're going to need to complete a high percentage of those 6-yard option routes to Edelman.
Yeah, I'm just telling you that he was good throwing to Olsen, too, and Olsen's a between the hashes tight end. You know, he's not a guy that's blowing people away down the field. So I'm not telling you he's going to be Brady. I don't think he's going to be 58%.
Let's pick it up on the other side with your calls. Paul Perillo joining us. Here's Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bring it back with a question for Perillo that I was going to ask. I think David Amherst. Go ahead, Dave. What do you got?
No, I just wanted to jump on the wide receiver thing starting from last year. Like, he wanted Brady to be gone, so I'm not going to surround him with any talent. And now, you know, Brady's gone, but he's continued it again. There's just absolute – today's NFL with the high passing, high scoring, he's absolutely put nothing around him. I don't understand.
Okay, Dave, thanks for the call. This narrative, we're not going to surround Brady with anything because we want him out of here, yet we're going to draft a receiver in the first round. We're going to sign Antonio Brown, arguably the most talented receiver in the NFL. And then when that flames out, we're going to overpay with a second-round pick for another veteran receiver, Mohamed Sanu. But we want Tom Brady to fail, so we're not going to surround him with anything. How asinine that sounds like, and that, you know, but that narrative has taken hold. And the Brady, the boo-hoo Brady crew, Murray, Gasper, you guys, you still keep trying to sell it. Like, they
because we're right.
Well, no. He failed. He failed at selecting those guys. But if he wanted Brady to fail and he didn't want to surround him with anything, why did he bother signing Antonio Brown?
Or trading for Sanu.
Well, I just said that. Like, so that you guys have got to just...
Because he knew they sucked too and he needed to get some talent in here.
Tweak your narrative so it's not so stupid. So it's not so outlandish. Yeah, I mean, if you'd say Bill sucks at doing it.
There's a couple of things there though, Mike. I totally am with you on the narrative that Bill's, sabotage things on purpose. I mean, does that sound like something you know, that would be along the lines of the guy that wants to win.
Yes, actually,
all the time.
That's
what he wants to do. He wants to sabotage his own chances. But why did he sign Brown and Sanu because they had nothing?
If we're gonna go there, why would he not play Malcolm Butler? So I have seen him get in his own way before because of his ego. So it sounds like him. It's just not what happened. He drafted a guy, signed a guy, and then traded for a guy.
Yeah, I think that you're combining a couple of things. I mean, they had to sign Brown because they had nothing. You think that's what they wanted to do? You think they wanted to give a second-round pick in the middle of the year for Mohamed Sanu? They had to because they had nothing.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do it this year. They did it because they wanted to help Brady, not hurt Brady.
Because they were in the midst of a 12-4 season that they thought they had a chance to win. If they think they have a chance to do that this year, they will.
Okay, well,
if they're like 7-0 and they have a chance to acquire someone that they can help, you don't think that they would do it?
Not this year. I think they're in cost-cutting mode. I think like most businesses, they've cut costs and they're not adding payroll to this year's team. I don't care if they're 14-0. They're not going to add money.
I disagree.
And we'll see.
I don't think we're going to find the answer because I don't think they're going to jump out to an 8-0 start like they did last year.
Well,
They
have tons of money and there's players available and they're not sniffing any of them. I mean, that got sidetracked. Who are their five receivers?
Correct. That's a good question.
Thank you.
I mean, Edelman is the one constant. I think it'll be
in your roster projection. Who do you have?
Yeah, I would have Edelman, Harry, Sanu, and then it gets a little dicey. You know, I think Bird is probably pretty safe, and then it comes down to Olszewski and Jacoby Myers. You know, maybe there's room for both. Maybe there's room for one. To me, that's a coin flip.
And this Ross kid, again.
I think Olszewski probably gives you a little more with special teams, his ability to return punts.
And you,
I think Ross is a practice squad guy, Mike. Sorry about that.
You do.
Okay. I mean, really, when you get past the first three, and I'll tell you what, like the fact that Sanu's guaranteed a spot should tell you plenty. Because everything I've read is that he blows.
And I wouldn't say he's guaranteed, because I do think there's a chance if Mike is right and it's a cost-cutting season, I mean, that's $6 million that you can get, you know, right off the top. It's all salary. There's no dead money. It's last year of his deal. You don't want him on the roster in week one because then it becomes guaranteed. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. I think Sanu is going to be here. I think they need him. So
yeah, you know why he's going to be here? Because they gave up a second-round pick for him. That's why. Yeah, back to demanding apologies, by the way, I want an apology for being criticized for saying they overpaid for Mohamed Sanu.
I'm still looking for
my apology.
I want an apology on the text messages.
That's going to be a watch when the Celtics continue to win, Tony. So you cut your losses there.
Shut up, Paul.
Paul, give me something on Harry. N'Keal Harry, how do you feel about him? Does the team, do you have a right to be sort of frustrated or concerned about his development?
Yeah, I think concerned is a really good word. I haven't seen a tremendous jump from last year to this year. And he got a chance to participate in a lot of training camp last year before he got banged up in the preseason. And I haven't really seen, again, the ability to separate is not there. I know physically he has just incredible attributes. He's a big guy. He's strong. He can high point the ball. If it's a jump ball with a guy, he can win it. He's that kind of guy. I'd like to see him just, you know, go down, you know, 11 yards and make a move and make a cut and have the ball be there on time and him be open by a yard and do it that way, like the more conventional way. He took a ball out of J.C. Jackson's hands in the end zone on a play early in training camp, and it was just like, wow. But I've seen him do that. I want to see him do just the routine stuff on a more regular basis, and I haven't seen that.
The more conventional. Actually run a route, get open, and catch the football. Like, yes. I just haven't seen it. That's tough, Matt. You're shaking your head, too.
No, we have a phrase. Like,
I'm shaking my head. Paul, hold on. I'm shaking my head because concerned is a good word. It's like, this is the guy from sunshine.com.
Don't do it like that. You're looking for my assessments, and then you got to turn it into a high-ranking member of the organization again.
Says the Patriots blow.
Wow, they
here we
suck.
Go. I didn't say that.
They're going to suck.
I did not say that.
So look, I'm sorry, Murray. One of the questions I have for you is you keep saying the defense dominates. Is that because you think the defense is good or because I'm serious, Paul,
or
because the offense blows? Which
is
it?
Last year, I would say that the same kind of thing happened. The defense really outplayed the offense all summer, and then they carried that into the regular season. And then I think it was fair to say, was that because of the competition? You know, when they're facing, you know, Luke Falk, for the Jets and that mess that was in Miami, that week two game, that the 43-0 game. I mean, those offenses were utterly inept. And then in the second half of the season, they started playing some teams like Kansas City and Baltimore that had more of an idea of how they wanted to move the football, and it wasn't quite as smooth. So I do wonder, does the defense dominate now because, you know, that basically they're worried about Julian Edelman and that's it? And then they have a quarterback who's sort of finding his way still, and that, you know, he's not ready. So I do think they have some holes to fill on defense. You know, the front seven to me has a lot of questions. Really, the only interior defensive lineman that they have that, you know, you feel really strong about is Lawrence Guy, and stopping the run was a problem last year. They went out and signed Bo Allen. We haven't seen him on the practice field yet. You know, on the edges, they have some young guys that I think are promising, but we haven't really seen them play yet. Like Chase Winovich and Derek Rivers has been banged up for a couple of years. So, you know, Shalik Calhoun is a guy who's been in. I mean, I don't know exactly how good these players are. And then you have the two rookie linebackers who I think show a lot of promise, Anthony Jennings and Josh Uche. But are you going to ask them to just step right in and play the amount of downs that like Kyle Van Noy and Dante Hightower played and Jamie Collins? That's asking a lot. A
lot of questions. Let's pick this up on the other side. Murray's got one for you. I also want Paul Perillo's NFL power rankings, AFC East power rankings, all in our long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger Mass. Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The arrival of Cam Newton influenced me to put the Patriots all the way at number four.
Whoa.
On the PFT preseason power rankings. Look, how many times do we have to see the movie to realize that it ends with the Patriots close to, if not at the top of the mountain, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the upgrade from Cam Newton over Tom Brady, and we talked about this last week. You know, Tom Brady as of last year, it's an upgrade over Tom Brady as of last
year.
Yes. And if Cam Newton's healthy, he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And this may end up being the master stroke of Bill Belichick's career as a personnel evaluator.
Talk about sunshine.com. Sign him up.
Hire him.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, has the Patriots in his power rankings fourth in the National Football League. Not in the AFC East. Fourth in the National Football League.
That's crazy.
And says Cam Newton is an upgrade over Tom Brady.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any bias behind that take, too.
Oh, Tom's out there without the mask. Tom's out there thumbing his nose at all the COVID precautions and everything that everyone else is doing. What, do you think he's above it all? Oh, you think it's not real? Oh, he's just the worst.
Well, the whole clip starts with him yelling at Josh McDaniels for wearing the face mask but not over his nose.
Oh, God.
If you have the very beginning of that clip here, just do it for Murray to piss him off, if you could. You have it open, don't you, Stu?
Just no, I cropped it out what you wanted.
All right, sorry. Then never mind. Okay, sorry.
No, just
sorry,
you
sorry.
Telling me about
no,
it.
No, it's okay. Fine. I told him we got the point. Paul, where are the Patriots in your NFL power rankings? Where do you have them in your AFC East power rankings?
I think I have them two in the AFC East. I'm just so afraid of this because of the last thing that Florio said about, you know, we've seen this movie, and I don't have any faith in the field, but I just think Buffalo's roster is better. I mean, at some point, somebody's going to win that division that's not the Patriots. And if it's not this year, then I'm not sure it's ever going to happen until Bill leaves. But Buffalo's roster is pretty solid. Obviously, we all know what the big question mark is, and that's quarterback. But I think the Patriots have a big question at quarterback, too. So I think that sort of, you know, mitigates that advantage that the Patriots always have. And I think Buffalo finds a way. I don't think that they're a great team. In the AFC, I mean, I clearly have Kansas City and Baltimore. I think Baltimore has a chance to do one of two things. Either they're going to completely self-destruct and, you know, sort of fixate on what they did, you know, choking at home last year against Tennessee, or they're going to use that as some really good championship teams do as motivation. It's going to put him over the top because I think that's an unbelievably talented roster. And if Jackson can build off of what he did last year, I think that's the cream in the AFC. But I don't see the Patriots as a Super Bowl contender. There's so many things that are flawed about what Florio just said. You talk about how he mentioned based on Tom Brady last year. I would agree. Tom Brady was not great last year. What are we basing Cam Newton on? 2015? Or the first half of 2018? Because if we're going to go off of Tom Brady last year, why are we not going off of Cam Newton last year? Why are we just assuming Cam Newton's an upgrade over Tom Brady? Right. I think that's ridiculous.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, and I'm sorry, Mass, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and he's missing the obvious point on Brady, is that Brady wasn't engaged. I mean, now he's engaged, aside from the talent, which is obvious. And I mean the talent that Tampa Bay has. Right. Brady was checked out.
There were some underlying issues there.
Oh, right? Totally. He was totally checked out.
So, but my issue is, I think even if Cam Newton physically is back to where he was, it's a totally new offense, and they have to adjust to him, and he has to adjust to them. And I, you know, Bedard says it's going to be bully ball, which is like, geez, like I'm not a big believer in that in the NFL. So like, even if Newton physically gets back to what he was, and oh, by the way, what are his receivers and the tight ends and the whole, so I think the whole thing, if it wasn't for Belichick, this would be a lottery team. I mean,
Bill is the only, my respect for Belichick is the only reason why I have the Patriots in the playoff conversation.
Me too. if this were another coach, they're not in the top 20 of the league, I don't think. I think their roster, and I just glean it from everything.
It's very thin.
It blows. And yeah, I don't even know defensively if they're all that good.
Yeah, they still have some talent, but they're very thin in certain spots. They're very thin at wide receiver. They're very thin on the defensive line and linebacker. You know, they have some depth at running back. They have tremendous depth at cornerback. I think the cornerback position is probably the best in the league, you know, top to bottom. They have some good cover guys. But if you can't get any pressure, see, this is why I have so much respect for Bill, because I know he schemes pressure so well. And they figure out ways to do it. They did it last year. You know, they didn't have that elite pass rusher, but they found a way to get, I don't know, whatever it was, 47, 48 sacks for the season because of all those stunts they do with the linebackers. And I could see him doing some of those things again this year. But, Mike, you're right. But the depth on this roster is not anywhere near what we're used to.
I'm sorry, Murray, you had a question too.
Well, yeah, so, Paul, there's now a few reports out in the last hour that the Pats have expressed interest in Leonard Fournette. So considering that you, like others, think they're going to suck, should they sign him?
Again, I'm going to say I didn't say that. But anyway, I don't think they should be in on Leonard Fournette. I don't know that they are or that they're not. No one has told me one way or the other. But it just doesn't make any sense to me to get a big plodding running back when you have a pretty deep running back crop. What is Leonard Fournette going to give you? I mean, if he gave you this sort of different dimension, you know, I could maybe understand it. But I think you kind of have guys that are straight ahead, non-home run hitters and Michelle and potentially Lamar Miller, you know, to go along with Damian Harris. Why do you need Leonard Fournette?
Short yardage.
So how much are you going to pay for a guy to dive over the line on second and one?
Did I say anything about paying him? Did I say anything about paying him?
I wouldn't pay the guy a dime.
Okay, I didn't say pay him. I just said...
Plus, I don't think he's a great teammate. I wouldn't...
Third and one, who would you rather have, Sonny Michel or Leonard Fournette?
Fournette. What's the diff?
Oh, if I had those two choices, I would say Fournette.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all. My only point is...
Is that worth signing a guy for?
If he's cheap, why not?
Well, what if Damian Harris can get third and one?
Okay, then, but again, he's a little smaller, right? I like the idea of throw. I want him to get a lot of touches. So if I can avoid giving him some physical abuse, I would take Fournette on a good deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Okay, on that
note. Which means they'll probably sign him tomorrow.
Exactly, of course. Paul, we're off and running. It was great to hear from you again, pal.
I enjoyed it. Looking forward to next week.
Okay, Paul Perillo, Patriots.com, Sunshine.com, every Wednesday, starting now. So we'll talk to you next Wednesday, Pip.
Looking forward to it.
See you, babe. Okay.
Bye, Paul.
Paul on the Zoom. See you later. Final hour of your calls. I promise. We'll get back to you. All this Patriots stuff, you're on the line. We have leftover Celtic stuff that they're going to reset. We'll get right to you. Some Bruins calls. We'll get to all of it. I promise. Right to you after Murray's 90-second update. There is two open lines if you want to grab them at 617-779-0985. To you right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.